So in the desert, we grow by learning to listen. Learning to listen. It's a process. Learning to hear his voice. And if you're a Christ follower and you've been serving Christ for any amount of time, talk to anybody who's been serving the Lord for a number of months, years, time. This is a process. People say, well, what's the voice? Sometimes people think pastors have a cell phone to God. I don't have a cell phone to God. I don't get to just call him up and he just talks so simply to me, easy, you know, all the time. I do hear his voice and I do talk to him, right? And I've never heard his voice audibly, but it's a learning thing. You learn how he moves in you. You learn how he speaks to you. You learn, you know, kind of over time in seasons. You got to learn. It's a process. Learn to listen. God will use desert seasons in your life to teach you a lesson. Here's a good question for you. What does God want from you in the desert? In other words, when you're in a desert season, a time where you're fully dependent on him, God, what do you want from me? And then shut up. Then just be quiet. God, what do you want from me? What are you wanting me to learn here? And then grab your Bible. Lord, what do you want me to teach me here? And then pick it up and you start to read it. Well, what are you trying to show me? What is it you're wanting to teach me in this season of my life? To depend on you, to trust you? What is it? Where's the sin in my life? I mean, when was the last time you said, Lord, show me the sins in my life? No, that's not normally what we do. Lord, I could really use a vacation tomorrow, so come on, help me out. Can you give me that raise, you know, health, whatever. How about going to God saying, examine my heart, like David said. God, where's my sin at? What's separating me from you? What is stopping the promise that you have for my life? What am I doing? Then now all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't want to pray that. I want to pray happy prayers, you know. That's what it means to learn to listen. God will use desert seasons in your life to teach you to listen. It is not always easy to see a clear path when we're in the desert and the way that you should go. And there are lots of different kinds of paths to take. We're going to talk about that today. And without a guide, in other words, in the desert, sometimes it's easy to get lost. So my point is, in life, sometimes we don't know what path to take, and we need a guide to come in and help us navigate the right path. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today, about navigating the right path. Sometimes you're in a desert season, and the desert is, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go next. I don't know what to do next. Just kind of wandering around, so to speak, from the Israelites' perspective. I don't know where to go. I don't know when this is going to end. I don't know what decision to make. How do I know what path to take? If that is you today, you've come on the right day. So today I want to talk to you about learning to walk the right path. And so I've titled part two of this series, Learning to Walk. After having three children, and by the way, I'll say this publicly to get it kind of out there now. I have one on the way. Well, my wife has one on the way. I don't have one on the way. My wife has one on the way. People say, yeah, you know, now with our fourth child on their way, people say, man, you know there's medicine for that. Or, you know, you. And I say, well, why would I want to stop? I love my wife. Never mind. People say, you like having kids? It's like, no, I just love the process. Come on, somebody. Jesus. Amen. All the men said, amen. Yes. All the married men, that is. Amen. Amen. When you're married, it's hard to stop. Amen. That's another talk. And if you have children in the room, that's your fault. Take them to kids ministry. I told you. You can explain that later over lunch. All right. After having these children, I've learned that learning to walk isn't easy. First, a child rolls over. If you ever watch a baby, you know, they roll over, and then they get on their knees, and then they crawl. Then eventually get kind of a wobbling effect. Then eventually they get up, and the parents get the, you ever done this? And then they get the phone out, and then they fall. And they, no, get them back up. And then it's just this process of learning to walk. And then they fall down, then they get up again, they fall down again and again. It's kind of this process that they just kind of learn to walk. Then they go from walking, if you notice, to running. My son's still four, and he runs everywhere. I'm like, dude, you could just walk. It's amazing. Just pace yourself. But he just runs. I found in life to be the same way. Life, up and down, 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 up and down. Get up, fall down, get up, fall down, get up, fall down. My point to you is this. Write this down, take notes. Life is not a sidewalk. Life is not a sidewalk. We all know that much as we wish life were like a sidewalk, in other words, an easy paved road, it's not. Life has challenging moments, difficulties, tragedies, annoyances. Anybody annoyed in the house today? One person annoyed. Everybody else is at peace. You're all annoying him, by the way. That's what that just told me. No. But we have annoyances, situations come up. In fact, prayer does not always bring about a paved road. Just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean that you'll get to walk on smooth roads the rest of your life. God doesn't promise an easier path for his followers. That's not true at all. You don't believe me? Just ask the Israelites who had to live in a desert for 40 years. If you think that signing up as a Christian means you have an easy path, ask Jesus how easy his path was. Ask the person next to you who's been following Christ for the, you know, past year or maybe more. Following Jesus doesn't mean you have an easy paved road. Doesn't mean things are supposed to be easy. Not at all. It's not a sidewalk. God does use, though, the deserts to bring about growth and progress in our lives. And today I want to share with you another lesson that God has taught me about his people, and he taught his people, and he's teaching us in the desert. One of the things that I found about desert seasons and moments in life where we're fully dependent on God, when there's nowhere to turn but other than him, it's hard to know the path and which path to take. And we don't know where to turn. You ever been in a scenario in your life and you thought, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do next. I'm kind of in this waiting thing and I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I'm in this wandering season of my life. Well, the good news is God shows us where to walk and how to find him along the way. And that's what I want to show you today. How do I find God in the desert season? How do I find God? How do I know what path to take? How does that look? What is God wanting to teach me in this desert season in my life? One, he'll teach you to learn to listen, and then I'm going to give you the next one today. Okay? It's been said that the Israelites are, of course, wandering for 40 years. We talked about this last week, and I just want to catch you up on this. The Israelites were not wandering in the desert aimlessly. They weren't. From their perspective, I believe it's three times in the Bible the word wandering is mentioned from their perspective. From their perspective, we don't know where we're going, we're lost. From God's perspective, I have you right where I want you. I'm the one that led you in the desert, and I'm still leading you in the desert. So I know exactly where you are, and I've got you right where I want you. But they felt, of course, they didn't know where they were going, but God knew exactly where he was leading them and guiding them. Look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness for 40 years. God was with them the entire time. He never left them. Sometimes we think they're just wandering around. You're in life and you think, I'm lost. I don't know where God's left me. God hasn't left you. He's still guiding you and leading you even in the desert seasons of life. Okay, and it says, to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. God said, I'm going to put you in a desert season to find out if you really trust me. I'm going to allow you to struggle here. I'm going to allow you to go through wilderness seasons in your life, questioning seasons in your life. I'll allow your marriage to go through some things in your life, and sometimes you bring that on yourself, but I'll allow you to go ahead and do that. I'll allow that thing to come to you in order to see and test you if you truly trust and will obey my word, even when things aren't perfect. And that's a hard lesson to be learned, but he says, well, this is what I'm going to do. I have to learn to teach you in these moments. Psalm 78, look what it says. He guided them, the psalmist writes, he being God, guided them with the cloud by day, with light from the fire all night. It says he split the rocks in the wilderness and he gave them water. We'll talk about that later on today. As an abundant as the seas, he brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like the rivers. Now, here's my point. He guided them in the wilderness. God led them into the wilderness and he was with them the whole way. They were not lost or wondering. They were being led by God exactly where God wanted them to be, because God was wanting the nation, listen to me, to learn to trust him, and he was using the desert to do it. God will use desert seasons in your life. Sometimes that season is a year. Sometimes that season is 5 years. Sometimes that season is a week to teach you to trust him, to learn, to grow in your faith, your knowledge of who he really is. But God was not only teaching the Hebrews to listen to his voice, he was also teaching them to walk in his path, to know the path to take. And he wanted to teach them a lesson about walking in the path. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. It says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him? God, to the nation, God is calling your nation to walk in obedience to God, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your very own good. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. These are important scriptures. I'll bring these up in just a moment. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Ancient paths. Another, I want you to walk in obedience. There's ancient paths. There's a path to take. Proverbs 3:5, one of my favorite verses, says, trust in the Lord God with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. God was trying to teach the nation of Israel the path to take. I've got a path for you to take. Some of you need to anchor in this right here. Can I show you something about this verse? One of my favorite verses, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it's all about trust, learning to trust. Lean not on your own understanding. You won't understand the desert seasons of your life and why they're happening all the time. Why, when, where, how's this going to happen? Well, don't lean on your own understanding, but just simply in all your ways, acknowledge him or submit to him. Understand that he is God. He's in control. He's God. He's got you right where he wants you. And he will make, and I love this. It's this little four-letter word right there. You know what it says? Your path. You have a path that God has you on. God has you on a path. It's your path. Listen, I came here, somebody needs to hear this today. Stop trying to walk someone else's path. Your path. God says, I have a path for you. And I have a path for this nation, these Hebrew people. Now, get on course with me. Learn to listen and follow my commands. I have a path for you. Don't try to figure out your path. Some of you are so stressed out in the desert season still because you're still trying to make your own path, trying to find your own path. Let God bring you the path. Why are you trying to shape the path? Some of you are like got machetes out and you're stressed out trying to clear your own path. Just let God walk in front of you and clear it for you. I got a path for you to take. And this is a path I'm trying to get you on. You know, God will leave you in a desert for 40 years until you realize he's the one guiding your path. Some of you haven't got out of the desert for 40 maybe years or before because you're trying to guide your own path. He's saying, I'm the guide. Let me guide this thing. I got a path for you, and I'll make your path straight. It's all about teaching this nation about taking a path. Psalm 25, show me your ways, the psalmist says. Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Teach me your path. Here's what I want you to do. Write this down. God has a path for his people. God has a path for his people. He has a path for you. That's why we've come here today, to learn this lesson that God will use desert seasons in our lives to guide us and teach us the path that he wants us to take and to help us grow in our knowledge of him. I want to show you a picture of the desert that I believe it's Boudin is how you say it, or Boudin people. These are the people that live in the wilderness that you'll see here. Bedouin, thank you. Yes, thank you. And you'll see the people in the desert. This is what the desert looks. Everybody has kind of an image of the desert with sand, but this is what it, more picture. We talked about the green shrubs along the way. This is the green pasture that David references. It wasn't this beautiful green, you know, Montana hill filled grass field. This is what he's referring to as green, just enough along the way. And so this is what it looks like. Now here's what I start to recognize, and I want you to see when you think about this terrain, when you're talking about living in these conditions for 40 years. Okay? Now, when I thought about Arizona, I don't know why I did when I saw this. I thought, who in the world would want to live in the desert? But some people do. But look at this. Imagine living in this situation for 40 years. Okay? Some of us are miserable. We have Publix 1 minute from us. Hey, where I live. You know? Imagine living here. I mean, what do you do when you need diapers? You know? And the point is, this is hard conditions to live in. This is where the nation is living. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to think about when you look at this photo. But first, I want to help you to see that it's hard to see a clear path. If you actually go through different parts of this desert, you'll see mountains and different rocks and hills in front of you, and you can't see what's on the other side, much like in life. You don't always know what tomorrow holds, right? You don't know what's coming next. I mean, the Israelites didn't know if the promised land was on the other side of this mountain or the next one, right? But they just had to keep trusting God in the process. And it's hard to find the right kind of route to take. There's no road signs. And you're just trying to figure out where to go. Sometimes that's how it is in life, trying to figure out where to go. Don't know what's coming next. Life is not always easy to navigate. but God promises to guide us and protect us along the way. Psalm 91, for he will command his angels. I love this promise. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, I love this promise, and I want you to see this. God is saying, nation of Israel, listen to me. As you are going through the wilderness area, I am protecting you and guiding you, and I will watch over you. And God says, I will release my angels to be with you while you're walking through your desert season so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now, look at this. Go back to the picture for just a moment. In this particular terrain, sometimes there are little rocks. You can't maybe see them, but I can see them a little closer. These maybe little bitty rocks that maybe you can't see if you were to ever go hiking or something like that. And you come across these little rocks, things that maybe kind of cause you to watch where you're walking or whatever. They become a little annoying to you. You know, if you don't have good shoes on, they're going to become a little annoying, so to speak. If you stop, you know, kind of stop on one of these rocks, or maybe you kind of trip over one of these rocks, or you stub your toe, which is sometimes excruciating pain. You ever stubbed your toe getting up in the middle of the night or something like that? You know, you stub your toe on something. You can maybe twist your ankle on some of these smaller rocks, is what I'm saying to you. So if you're not careful, you could trip a little bit. I found in life, this is true, sometimes there are just small rocks along our path in our desert. These small kind of annoyances that happen to us in our life. Here's an example. You don't like your job. You don't like your job. A small little annoyance. You're not going to die because you don't like your job. Now, some of you might say, well, if I keep working here, eventually I will, you know, but it's a small little annoyance. You and your kids get into an argument. Small little annoyances, you know, things that kind of jolt your day or your season. So we all have small rocks that we face. How am I going to get out of high school? Oh, high school. Do you remember that in high school? Have you ever feeling that way? Oh, this is terrible. I hate school. Can I just tell you, if you're a high school student, middle school student, it's a small rock. Come on. Come on, parents. Just wait till you're a mom and a dad. It looks like this, okay? You know, and we have small rocks in life, and there's small annoyances along the way. Taking tests, you know, feeling pressure, whatever it may be. But we have small rocks that we have to face in our life. I want you to know something. If you're just stumbling on small rocks, just little annoyances, God says, I'm sending angels your way so that you don't strike your foot against a small stone. In other words, when that small stone comes and tries to trip you up, I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to help you along the way. I haven't left you, even when you're stumbling on small things. Next, you'll realize that in this terrain, there are what sells medium-sized rocks. You see these down here? Just maybe some medium-sized rocks. These are a little bit more, if you're not watching where you're going carefully, they can cause you to stumble and cause a little bit more pain. In other words, it's not that you don't like your job. You actually got fired from your job unjustly. You lose your job. A little harder time in life. You lose a relationship. A child goes through a difficult season. You have a teenager or you know, a young person or something, or you watch a young adult and your child, and they kind of turn their life completely around, and it seems like they have a season of anxiety. They have a season of depression. They have a season of something happening in their life, and it feels not like a little small thing. It feels kind of like these medium-sized rocks. It's a stumbling thing. God makes the same promise to you. I will send my angels so that you don't strike your foot against this stone, that this thing doesn't take you out. I will let you stumble, but it won't take you out. You might trip up on some things, but it won't take you out. I won't allow it to. I'm God, and I've sent my angels to protect you and guide you. As long as you're on my path. That's the key. Remember, there are lots of paths to take. He says, as long as I am your guide, I will make sure I clear the small rocks out of the way so you don't trip up. As long as I am your guide, not that things are going to be easy, I will make sure when we come across this medium-sized rock, I'll get you through it. But if you try to walk and navigate life on your own, and you fall and you stumble, I might look at you like I look at my kids when they do something stupid. Make sense? Sometimes in life, there's large rocks. These are a little larger. These ones I'm referencing to kind of back in this area. They're not slightly this height, but they're kind of here. These are big, bigger boulders. There's even massive, maybe even holes in the ground. There's different, you know, situations in the terrain that make it harder to walk through. These are larger rocks, massive stones that will bring you sometimes in life, watch this, to your knees. Have you ever been in so much pain or turmoil or discomfort or don't know where to turn? It literally dropped you to your knees. You heard terrible news, you know, parents, passing away, divorces happen, children that you love that they went through a divorce or something, or, you know, you see something on the news that you just anchors in your soul that you're like, oh gosh, you know, those kids, you know, or that parent, or, you know, you see big, you know, different tragedies happen in life, and it just brings you to your knees. Sometimes in life, there are large stones that we come across in the desert seasons of life, and these are things and situations in life that it'll bring you to your knees. It's legitimate. It's painful. It hurts. These are hard times in life that all of us at some point do face. Moments you're stopped in your tracks and you simply don't know if you can keep on going. You ever had a day where you just thought, I really don't know if I can keep doing this. I really don't know if I can keep doing this. How long is this going to keep going? I can't keep fighting through this. I feel so utterly alone. And I'm thinking about finding a way to not be alone anymore. And I'll do almost anything it takes to not feel alone. Moments in life where you just are brought to your knees. In marriages, it happens. You're brought to your knees. How long are we going to continue to fight and talk like this? How long is this going to, it just, I don't know where to turn. I'm at my breaking point. These are bigger rocks in life that sometimes we find ourselves facing. Then there's massive rocks, ones that just too big to conquer. Situations in the desert seasons that are simply you don't see a way around it. The loved one you've been praying for passes away. How are we ever going to get through this? He walks out on you. She leaves you. How are we ever going to get through this? They take your home away. Everything is ripped and robbed from you. And I simply don't see a way around this mountain. All of us face situations from small stones to medium stones, large stones, and these massive ones in life that we simply don't know how. A child loses faith. You've been praying for your child to come to faith in God, and they've completely lost their faith, and they've gone the opposite direction, and they've blatantly told you, I'm never, ever, ever going to serve God again. And you've been praying and working your whole life to try to get them to Christ. And you've thought in that very moment, no way around it. There's no way. What do you do in those moments of life? God says, I have a path for you. I'm going to show you the path to take. I'm going to teach you in this desert season, when you're going through life, whether it be small stones or large ones or medium ones or massive ones, and I'm going to show you the path to take, and I want you to remember that as I guide this path for you, I will send my angels around you to lift you up so you don't strike your foot against these things that are causing you to stumble. I'm going to keep you up during that season. It's a promise that he makes. Regardless of the size of rock in those moments, there is a lesson that God, this is the key, there is a lesson that God wants to teach you in moments like that. And here's what God says, Psalm 81. If my people would only listen to me. Come on, parents, let it preach in you today. You ever, come on, grandparents in the house who've been telling their kids and grandkids and maybe even great-grandkids, if you would just, come on, listen to me. Anybody ever had that said to them? If you just, come on, if you're a parent, if you just do what I told you to do. You know I'm serious preaching when I spit like that. Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? If you would just listen to me, Can somebody in this room today hear God tell you, if you would just listen to me, if you would just pick this thing up and listen to me, I will make sure you don't strike your foot against a stone regardless of its size. I didn't say I'm going to fully remove the stone and you're going to be on a sidewalk. I'm just going to help you along the journey as those things come your way. If you... come on, class. If you listen to me. Some of us hide this thing. We don't listen, and you're struggling and striking your foot on the stone all the time. If you just learn to listen, I'll give you a classic example. I'll just make up a story here, just an example. Nobody in this room is just an example, okay? So a spouse, if somebody's single looking for a spouse, and they go to bars, you know, I'm going to go find my good man at a bar who's rubbing up on me, doesn't even know my name. And if he don't like the way I dance, he just rubs up on somebody else. Why can't I find a good man? If you just learn to listen, do you understand my point? Sometimes in life, you just got to learn to listen. Now watch what God is saying in the desert season. You're wondering why, you know, why do I end up in a bad, all the things, why do I end up in a bad relationship all the time? Maybe because you're looking in the wrong places for the people you're trying to find. If my people would only listen to me, Israel the nation, if Israel would only follow my ways, can you hear the pleading in his heart? If you would just, marriages, married people, if you would just hold your marriage the way I've instructed marriage to operate, like there's things in this thing that I wrote down for you. If you would just do what I said to do, why do we keep on arguing all the time? All we do is argue and fight, and all we do is argue and fight, and all we do is argue and fight. If you'd learn to listen, he says, maybe you wouldn't be striking your foot against the same stone over and over and over again. Says, if you learn to follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? In other words, you'll have victory if you learn to listen. Those who hate the Lord will cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, I love this, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. And I want you to focus in on this today. Listen to this teaching. He says, I'm going to give you honey from the rock. I'm going to give you honey from the rock. The lesson is, we find God in the rock that brought us to our knees. Every rock that causes you to stumble has just enough God in it to help you through it. Everything that causes you to stumble in life, every time you're in a desert season and you got small rocks, medium rocks, large rocks, massive rocks, God says, there's enough of me in the rock to help you through the rock. The situation in your life that's trying to overcome you, I will make sure that I provide for you along the way so you don't strike your foot against it and the thing doesn't drop you. I'll pick you up. My angels will be there. I'm in the rock. My honey is actually in the rock. You know where to find God in the desert? In the rock. In the same rock that brought you to your knees, God says, you can taste me in that rock. There is enough God in every single rock in life. God oftentimes is in the rock. God is in the desert. He is present in the desert seasons of your life. And he'll allow these situations to teach you and show you who he is. Just enough that allows you to take one more step. I'll tell you this kind of story, how this plays out for me. Last week, I went through just a little bit, and I said I was in a season, and everybody has different seasons of deserts, but I had a desert season the past probably 3-4 months or so. and just some health things going on. Again, not trying to get into the details of that, but in a desert season nonetheless for me. And questioning, not my faith, but God, where are you? God, help me. I have nowhere else to turn other than you, God. Situations like that. And I found this verse about honey from the rock. And I want you to think about this. So in this season, honey from the rock, tasting God in the middle of the circumstance. I'm in the middle of the circumstance, the middle of the desert season, saying, God, where are you? I need you. And in this season desert, if you would, I grabbed my wife one day and just said, hey, you know, can we pray together? And one day after watching a movie, I got up and I started saying, Lord, I just need you. There was this moment where I was in a desert. I was frustrated. I think I had just left here on a Sunday morning, if I recall. I can't remember. I went home and just was just kind of in a desert season internally and had a lot of stress and a lot of worry on my mind. So I started to watch a movie to unwind, and finally something snapped and said, stop letting the movie try to draw you out of this desert. Come find me. And so I just shut off the movie and said, Lord, I need you. I need you right now more than I need anything, and I need you to figure this thing out. So I go in prayer closet and start to pray, and my wife comes in, and we began to cry out to God, and there was just this breaking point for me. I began to weep like a baby, and it just, you know, kind of both of us in this intimate prayer moment, one of the most intimate prayer moments we've ever had in our 12 years of marriage. I mean, if not the most vulnerable, open, crying out to God, pleading to God in my closet at my house. And it was one of the best communion times and experiences I've ever had with my wife in prayer. Can I tell you what that was? I'll show you. I'm serious. That was honey from the rock. I found God in that scenario, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the difficulty. God says, now you're tasting me. And he was using my wife in that moment to reveal himself to me. That's honey from the rock. And I tell you, I remember leaving that prayer time with her more courageous than I've ever been in my entire life, more filled with power, more filled with courage to keep moving forward. It was honey in the rock. And I don't call my wife honey, but it would make for a really good pun right now if I did. I'm going to give you another one, how this plays out, and then we'll wrap this thing up. A few weeks later, couldn't figure out what was going on with my body physically, not a lot of answers coming to me. And I felt like the Lord had told me to stop taking these medications. Now, don't go home and stop taking medication. I'm not your doctor. For disclaimers, I don't want to be sued. We need every dollar we can get. Amen. So you're not going to get a lot anyways if you come after me. So whatever. But there was a few days after I was sitting in a Starbucks parking lot, and I felt like God had told me to stop taking this medication that I'd been on for 20 days. And that's a serious deal. So I was, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is this really what you want me to do? And was in a hard place, so to speak. And so I called my wife up, and I felt like God said, I just thought, well, I think I'm going to call my wife, and if she confirms, because, you know, wives know more than men do, and husbands. And I said, do you think I should stop taking this medication? And I felt like I was supposed to call her and confirm with her. And she said, well, I just want you to know, 2 days ago, when I was in my prayer closet, now pause, I immediately went to kind of flashback. 2 days ago, she was in the closet. She said, hey, I want to go pray. I wanted to go in there and pray with her, but God told me, no, don't go pray with her. Instead, lay your hands on the wall and pray for her while she's in there. So I put my hand on the wall, and I start praying for her. And I thought, man, I really want to go in there and find out what God is doing, you know. And but I didn't. I kept praying. I went away. 2 days later, and she said to me, I was sitting in the Starbucks parking lot, and I said, do you think I should stop taking this medication? What's going on? I want an answer. I just want to feel better. I want an answer. And she said, God told me 2 days ago when I was in my prayer closet that you were to get off your medication, but not to tell you. Instead, to wait for you to come to me and get confirmation to me. And my first thought as a husband was, why in the world did you listen to God? Why didn't you tell me? Who are you to listen to God? Like, you've been letting me take this medication for 2 more days feeling terrible when you knew. Anyways, I was so thankful that she heard God and she obeyed him. Now watch this. It allowed me to experience God, watch this, through the obedience of my wife. Let me tell you what that means. It was honey in the rock. And now our spiritual growth with one another has never been stronger. And I know I can trust my wife who heeds God's voice. And that has skyrocketed our marriage. Isn't that a way to slap Satan in the face? Point is, in times in life, there's a rock or something that makes you stumble, but God says, I'm in there. You just got to find me in it. And I'm going to reveal myself to you in those moments in life. In fact, others, and I could give many more stories, during the time I had some of you come to me and just give me fresh vision for our church. I wouldn't trade it for anything if I'd, because I've just learned to taste the honey of God in those moments. God is in the desert season, and he's teaching you, and he's helping you learn the lessons that he needs you to learn as he prepares you for the promise that he has for you. I'll wrap it up with this verse. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest, Jesus said. It doesn't seem like a path statement, but Jesus was actually quoting a Hebrew verse, okay, which Jews would have been shocked to hear. Look at Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me lead these people, but you have, it says, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and have found favor with me. If it please with me, teach me your ways, O Lord, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember this to the nation. He says, remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. When Jesus said to the Hebrew people, his audience is, I give you rest, they would have been shocked. Excuse me, you don't give us rest. You should be quoting Exodus 33, God gives us rest. But Jesus is saying, no, I give you rest. Watch this, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus is quoting another Hebrew verse, Jeremiah 6:16, put it up. This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Remember the verse I read to you just a moment ago. Ancient paths. Ask for the ancient path. Ask for the path to take when you're in the desert season. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But you said, well, won't walk in it. When Jesus said, find rest for your souls, he was saying, I am the ancient path. To the Hebrew people who said, excuse me, you are not the ancient path. God is the ancient path. Jesus is saying, no, I'm the one that gives you rest for your soul. I am the ancient path. Not only am I the path, I'm the way to the path. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. I am truly the way. I am the path to take. I'm not claiming just to guide you on the path. I'm claiming to be the path. John the Baptist said the same thing this way. It doesn't look like it, but he's saying the same thing. John 1:35. The following day, John the Baptist was again standing with two of his disciples, and it says, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, the Lamb of God. Now, the word walk in Hebrew, just so you know, is the word live, okay? It's not to walk, it's to live. In other words, walking is a metaphor for living. This is the way we live. So John was saying, I have seen how Jesus lives. I've seen how he walks in his life. I've seen how he lives. I have seen his compassion for people. I've seen how good he is. I've seen his love, his strength, his power. And so look, there is the Lamb of God. I'm looking to him and I see the way that he walks on his path and the way the man lives his life. That is the Lamb of God. That is the Messiah. That is the Savior. Here's the lesson God teaches us in the desert, and here's how we grow in the desert. You ready? Here it is. In the desert, we grow by learning to walk as Jesus walked. In other words, we learn to live as Jesus lived. Here's why I'm telling you that, and I'm wrapping it all up with this thought. Remember this. Jesus, before he ever fulfilled the promise of the cross, before the Israelites ever were going to receive the promised land, and before you will ever fulfill everything that God has for your life, he will first send you through a desert to teach you who he is and to prepare you for your promise. Now watch. When you're in the desert season, he says, you got to learn to listen. But not only do you need to learn to listen, you need to learn to walk and navigate life as I've navigated life. What's the picture of that? How do I know how to navigate this path? How did Jesus get through that moment? What did Jesus do in that moment? Before Jesus went to the cross and experienced his ministry and life, where's the first thing we read in Scripture in John chapter 4 that he went through? A desert. Who did he meet in the desert? Satan himself. How long was he in the desert? 40 days. What did he do when he was in the desert? Fasted and prayed. How did he overcome temptation? Word of God. I'm in a desert season and I can keep battling temptation. The temptation is always in front of me. I can't put the cupcake down. I don't know what your addiction is. I can't put the thing down. I can't fight this. I'm trying to fight this addiction. I can't. How do I fight off temptation? What did Jesus say? Word of God. Man doesn't love the word of every bread alone, but the word of God. Word of God. This is the word. The power of God's word is inside of me. You can learn to walk through the desert seasons in your life by watching and learning to live like Jesus lived. What about my relationship and my marriage? My marriage, all those things. How do I get through this in my marriage situation? Learn to live as Jesus lived, as Jesus walked. He will guide you on the path. Watch this. He is the path. He is truly the answer. How did he have compassion for his enemies? Is the same way I need to have compassion in my marriage. He forgave those who spit on him and mocked him, and so I too will bring forgiveness in my relationship because he is the path. How am I going to get through the questions in life? How am I going to end up? How am I going to get through it? He's the path. I keep my eyes on him. He is the path, and God surely will get me through it. The same God who allowed Jesus to face the desert of the cross is the same God who gave his son the power to overcome it. In the desert, God molds us and shapes us into the image of his son, and the desert will challenge you, listen to me, but it will mature you. You may be in a desert season in your life, but I want you to know God is maturing you to become more like his son. Don't try to take the easy path and skip out on all the lessons God has for you in the desert. Be thankful for the desert, praise him in the desert, and know that God will uphold you through the desert seasons in your life. And he promises to send his angel that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And God, I'm thankful for you that you allow us to go through desert seasons in our life, to teach us who you are, to help us to learn to live like you. Jesus, you went through a desert season in your life, no doubt about it. Many times, and yet you overcame every single one, never stumbling in sin. And Jesus, you promised to be with us in those moments. Today, God, I pray that as we go through desert seasons in our life, we would learn to listen, but we would also learn to walk as you walked. We would learn to see that you are honey in the rock, that you are present and you are with us and you guide us every step of the way. I also pray, God, that we would not quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. You keep going through the desert. God, we keep going through the desert knowing you are faithful to get us on the other side. You promise to uphold us. You promise to get us through. Jesus, thank you for overcoming the cross. Thank you for dying for our sins, helping us to find life in you, Jesus.